I will be discussing a place where you can make all where you can make spiritual experiences, palpable spiritual experiences, which are the place is called Dahara Akash, or in English, the sacred space within the heart. We will do some meditations and then discuss two access ways, how we can get there. So you will have to bear with me. I mostly speak German with a little English accent, so you need to listen quite attentively. I'm very delighted, and I suggest we go right into the practice and right into the workshop. So the workshop is called Accessing the Spiritual or the Sacred Space Within. We will chant first of all, but we will chant in a special way. Is this note good? Come and let me sing very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yes? Please, every one of you, please sit. Yes, it's wonderful. There is nothing which pleases a lecture giver more than if his listeners take notes. But for this, we will not be able to take notes. I request you to bring your attention to your feet. Maybe you move them a little bit so that you can feel them. And then move upwards to your knees and to your sitting bones. And relax. Move up the spinal cord, the lower back, the upper back, and relax. Chest and belly. Relax. The shoulders may be the most important part because it's often very tense. The shoulders and then down to the elbows and the hands. Please relax. Please make an effort to relax them a little bit more by just letting loose all tension and let it go towards the floor. Yes. Now the back of your neck, back of your head, top of your head. Relax. The forehead, the facial muscles, and the sockets in which the eyes are embedded. Please relax. Appreciate how your body is relaxed from toe to head, but you are inside an incredibly aware, especially after the breakfast. Let's now focus our attention on the in and outgoing breath. Relax your breath by going a little bit over the edge of your normal exhale, just a little bit. Whenever you are exhaling, exhale a little bit more fully, not too much, but a little bit. Whenever you exhale, go a little bit more gently and long on your exhale. Few more rounds, please. Deep, gentle, inaudible, and long exhales and inhales. Bring your breath now into your heart by just breathing deep and visualizing that the breath goes inside the heart. And on each exhalation, bring fresh prana energy into your body action. While staying in the heart space, let us chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, something very nice. Let us just be mindful that our singing comes from the heart area, no? We don't need our mind really in this exercise. In fact, we make a pilgrimage with our mind into the heart and sing from there. Please, now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And everyone, one more time. Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
the Upanishads say, there's a space within the heart where everything meets. Eternity, God, the soul. Are you there? That's a question. Are you there? We find in scriptures like the Bhagavatam a very nice roadmap, so to say, to this place. There, the body is compared with a town with 9 gates. A medieval town in Germany, we have this, that there are gates. 9 is a little bit much, but at least 4 are there, through which the different trades come in. Through one of the gates, the farmers come. Through others, the workmen come. Through still another gate, the visitors come. So in this way, the body is compared to be a town with 9 gates. 2 gates are here. Through these, only the optical people come in, the sense impressions. I see you, for instance, the Hari Bol you have on your shirt. It's a very, very excellent shirt. And then there are 2 gates for the acoustic impressions. The fragrance. Now we have the 6. 7 is the mouth, taste, and so on. And there are 9 underneath the belt. 2 more underneath the belt. Now, in this town, there is a very special house. It's the heart. And again, in the heart house, we find a special room. It's the sacred space. It is small, but eternity, the soul and super soul, God and the heart, find their place there. Now, all spiritual techniques are meant to bring you to this sacred space, or bring where you can enter the contact between the small self and the greater self, the soul and the super soul, the individual living being and the Supreme Lord. And when you practice sadhana within that space, you feel nectar. You can feel that when you chant, for instance. When you're not in the space, your mind is still very restless, going back and forth. But if you are able to chant from the sacred space in the heart, oh, you feel so rewarded. And you feel, I have made contact. I have made contact. I have stepped on a life wire. Only that it's very nice. This is behind the statement that when in Kirtan, sometimes Kirtaniyas will say, chant from your heart. They don't mean the pump with this. They don't also mean the emotional heart, which the Italian grabs when he says, amore! it's a spiritual place, a meeting place. It's a place from where you can directly access spirituality. And you feel you have come into this space when the heart just opens and gives space for these ultimate considerations. The soul and the the super soul. This sacred space is described variously in Buddhism. It's the lotus in the heart, and they wish that this opens. No? It is discussed in the yoga tradition. When you make yoga, you are in the yoga zone. No? The desert fathers, these were monks who didn't like the busyness of ashram life, and they went into the desert to look for caves in these rock formations. Like Nicodemus, he speaks about leave the mind if you want to do meditation and contemplation. Leave the mind behind and go down into the space of the heart. No, it is, you find it everywhere in all traditions, because this is my point here, I guess. It's a palpable experience when you are there. You can experience it, you can feel it. It is not something imaginative. It's what all genuine traditions make. Now, if you want to go there, you have to bypass one entity within you, because this entity takes care that it locks this space. It's the ego. The ego, which makes contact with the outside world, I'm a German, I'm this, I'm that, and in this way closes the door of the heart. Can I help you? No, this man wants to write something down. Maybe here. No, this is not good.
Yes, oh. My Kali Yuga brain will not remember all the cool things.
It's not so. Anyways, if you take notes, then I will talk very nicely. Yes. No, sorry. I don't have it in this notebook, but the great commentator on the Bhagavatam, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says like this: by the processes of bhakti, you are severing or cutting the bonds of the ego, and then the door to the temple of the heart opens. That's why in the bhakti tradition there's so much emphasis on humility, on service to the Vaishnavas, because it is through this that this material ego gets severed, and then this door, this ego is like a chain around this sacred space in the heart, and when this chain is cut, the door is wide open, and you can go inside, and then you are there, and you can revel in the spiritual reality. My spiritual master, he commented on one work which Kasturba Prabhu has read this morning, and Raghunath was also there, and the wisdom of the sages program or podcast was on this work, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the end, when Prabhupada had finished this book, commenting, it's a major work, he said in the afterward, the epilogue, I didn't write this book. It was my spiritual master is always inside my heart, and with him there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very often, you know, I do know, because I was a translator from English into German, believe it or not, when I was young, I knew English. I translated his books, and he once told us, his translators, please do not change anything which I have written. These are ecstasies. They are given from above. They are given from a place, and this place is really there, the sacred space in the heart, where all inspiration and also intuition takes place. It is here where we need to go if we want to make bona fide or genuine spiritual progress. Now, there are various access roads. We tried today with a little bit with the chanting in a very simplified exercise. Tomorrow I want to make a longer one with you. But there is another way to get there, which is hearing the Bhagavata. Have you noticed, as you are listening to the daily podcasts, Wisdom of the Sages, and I know that both Kostuber and his, can we call him counterpart, or his partner in the Bhagavatam, is making great effort to keep the tradition intact so that the pure words of the Bhagavatam speak to us. At that time, have you ever noticed you're listening, your mind may be a little bit full with worries, but as you allow the text to sink in and speak to you, it seems to find its root and opens your heart so that you feel relieved. Have you noticed or not? It's not because of the cool jokes of Raghunath. They help that we are focused and that we are on the ball and we remain attentive. But it's when it's the text which speaks to us. Why is this feeling there? The text is described in the tradition as the Pratinidhi Rupa of Krishna. It means the representative form of Krishna. And if the text is received, listen to this ancient way of saying it, through proper oral reception, or in modern English, so listening attentively, then this sacred text or spiritual text will travel in us and move to that place in the heart. And as we listen, the ego and its worries, its anxieties and concerns, oh my God, I'm getting wrinkles. I always thought that's happening to the neighbors and not to me. Despite all my yoga. And so on. The text bypasses all of this, and it activates something in us. It really works with two energies. Anything spiritual, you know, we say, I like your energy also. Anything spiritual has these two types of energy. It liberates us from our anxieties, our mind, and it increases our inner flame of attraction to Krishna. No? Rumi famously said, find those who fan your flames. I would say in modern times, find bona fide speakers of spiritual texts who talk to us, and then when they talk, our inner something gets activated through the good energy which is in there, the Taraka and Paraka Shakti. Let's not get too technical. So, my dear everyone, Krishna becomes established in the heart. He becomes, in a way, caught, because he's everywhere. He is caught like a fragrance. Oh, whoo! And is there through bona fide hearing. The Bhagavatam itself says, I've written this down for you, Ishvara sadyo hridyavarudyate trakritibhi shrushubhish takshanat. No? Through the shrushubhish, or hearing, the Lord becomes sat-rit-yava-rudyate, established in the heart. Mm-hmm. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. My point is, here it's not just reading a text, it's contacting a spiritual reality which works in our heart and opens our heart space and so on. Take care that it doesn't close again so quickly. It will close by all activities which are done with the false ego. Now let me address one point, and then I want to come soon. Oh, actually, I have time. Don't need to. I have time. I don't need to go so. Who of you reads the Bhagavatam on their own, if I may know? The book. Yes. Most of you hear the podcast, maybe. That's good. I just want to know. Can I see again, please? Who reads the Bhagavatam on his or her own? Oh, that's about half of you. Nice. So I have in the Bhagavatam you will find a little formula, and we Germans are all about formulas. There are formulas, if you believe me, to make lead into gold. You just need the laboratory for this. Or anyways, that's not, I will not tell this. There's a mystical way of producing gold. But so anyways, the Bhagavatam tells us how it is possible to draw the nectar, the spiritual nectar, out of its pages. You can apply this formula also when you hear the Bhagavatam through the podcast. You don't need to read the work. In fact, the Bhagavatam was in the past explained from Bhagavatam readers who know Sanskrit, and they would read the Sanskrit and translate it in the local languages for the people who were farmers. They didn't need to learn the alphabet and reading. They heard. They were actually in all villages. There were mandaps or little places where these speakers would go, and people would gather together. They were shady and nice, and they would listen to the Bhagavatam. Yes. So there are three little steps which you can do when you listen to the Bhagavatam, And then you extract the nectar of from the pages of the Bhagavatam or from even from your podcast. Have you been in India and seen this and gotten a glass of sugarcane juice? They have these instruments which are like vaults, two vaults, and then they put the sugarcane stalks in there, and then it makes that's the sound of the generator. And then they press the sugarcane, and then the juice comes out, and the juice would be the best drink. It would have minerals, sweet, and everything you need for your health, if it were not for the flies, who were moments before with the pigs, you know, and they come to these waltzes and to your juice. but otherwise, it would be very nice. When I was young, I learned my lesson. I drank from there, and the ditches of Vrindavan can tell the story of failures in digestion. But this example is good. It brings out nectar. So how can you bring out the nectar in your Bhagavatam study? You must do these three things. It needs to be regularly. That's why you feel so much happiness in your life, because you regularly hear these podcasts. And you most probably all have these boilers, these kettles. The water will only boil when you put a regular supply of electricity there. If you cut it, like in India, this power cut, the water will not get hot. In the same way, you will not really come to the spiritual level if you hear with too many interruptions and fill the gap always with only material thoughts, informations, and so on. So be regularly, and regular, to be regular, it's good to do it at the same time. That's why I also appreciate the intelligence between wisdom of the sages. Every morning, except for today, the people get their Bhagavatam input. No, that is important. This regular staying with the text and so on. The next thing is try to pay rapt attention. Why is it so difficult for us to keep our attention for a longer period of life, of time? It's because our mind is overtaxed with so many material informations. It is tuned into material informations. When we hear spiritual informations, we can't. Our mind is just so clogged up, it just can't get into there. I know sometimes when I give lectures and there are new people, if I don't put in a joke from that, from now to from time to time, then they fall asleep. What to do? You have to learn a few jokes. I know, for instance, I once saw a movie, Lord of the Rings. Perhaps you know about this. There is one final battle, the good against the evil, And it's a really modern battle with heads are flying left and right and all of that. So I was watching, next to me there was a monk who was also seeing it, and he just couldn't respond or resonate with this violence. He fell asleep because he never had seen this, and because it was quite graphic, you know, the violence. Oh, boom, then where's the head? Oops, it's there. You know, and he could not relate to this any longer. So rapt attention is difficult if our mind is so stirred up with the material information, but it is good if we can pay as long attention as possible. Let the Bhagavatam speak to us. And the final thing is, you should have some faith. Even if it is only theoretical, that you say, okay, let another culture speak to me. Okay, we hear of beings which have more than two eyes. Why not in another dimension it could happen? Invest some faith. Don't allow that the ego just jumps in and closes the entry to the temple of the heart. No, just say to yourself, this is transrational information. It doesn't follow the laws of this world. It is on another dimension. It talks of other planets and of beings who are capable to do many more things than us, who are not so limited as we are. Whatever you need to tell your mind to be silent for a moment and just be in the attentive and faithful listening mood, do that. And you will see the Bhagavatam works on you really very fast, because you have no blockage before that blockage to the stream of the information. Regular. What was the next point? Rapt attention. And the last point?
Faith.
With some faith, yeah? Even if it's theoretical faith. So soon it's I would now like to make a little reading experiment with you. We have to set this up a little bit. Have you all received from Rachel by now on your mobile telephone a particular text of the Bhagavatam? Can you please switch your phones on? And
I'm gonna paste the link to join the group, if you haven't joined it yet, into the link, and then maybe a friend can send it to you.
Is that on WhatsApp?
So if you haven't been able to join it yet, I'll just paste the links to join it, and then maybe a friend can paste it. You know, so that it can do it all at once.
Yeah.
I don't have internet right now, though.
It's
actually.
The beta base, right?
Yeah, I already sent out the beta base. I'm just saying, if you don't have the link for the group chat, some of you don't.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to send it out on the Mega, and a friend next to you can just get it to you.
But is that email or is
it? I did send it to everybody's email like a week ago.
What you can also do, my dear everyone, you can just, I will team you up with, we will build teams now, and then in the teams you can I will request you to read the text with a certain method that helps you to extract the nectar, right? So that you learn to come through your Bhagavata study into the sacred space of the heart. Is that a good idea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some practice, I think. And your Bhagavatam regular, so it should work. Is it? Do you all have it now?
No.
Not. Oh, then I have a very good idea.
Yeah.
Who has it? Okay, so those who don't have it, find a partner who has it.
So the Wi-Fi doesn't work, but the regular. Hey guys, just for a second, the regular cell works. The Wi-Fi doesn't. So if you want to turn off your Wi-Fi, it'll connect to the regular cell. And I just posted a link to join the WhatsApp group in this chat. So if you're not a member of the WhatsApp group, maybe a friend next to you can send you that link, and then the database is in our group.
I suggest a photographic solution, because we can take photo of those who have it, so we can have a taste on all.
I think just a couple. Yeah, I'm gonna do that right now. Oh, okay. I'll send it right now. You got it now. Yeah,
it's text 1217, right? 1217.
1217.
Yes. See, it's simple. Haribo, everyone.
Can everybody just be quiet for 1 second?
It's very simple. When imagine we want to drive now somewhere, right? And there are some people who have a car. Then we go with the people who have the car, and some of us don't have a car. So we will anyways pair up. So why not pair up with the people in this way, those who have a car, and then we can go very far.
Okay, a bunch of people
with cars. Okay, so now we put the text in the thread as well. So everybody should have it. Does anybody not have it? Our group thread.
Which one?
Our WhatsApp thread.
Yeah, right. I can't get the WhatsApp.
I don't
know. So you're not on WhatsApp?
Or no, I'm on WhatsApp. I'm not on WhatsApp.
I didn't get it,
now I can't get it.
Okay, so can you raise your hand if you do have it? Let's just see if there's enough. Okay, so maybe let's just get into groups. So can you keep your hand up? And then can we just kind of disperse so that if you have your hand up, you can maybe go try to sit by some people that don't, and we can just kind of get into groups and share in this way? So just you have it. Great.
And I have my phone.
You have it.
Is everybody in a group now? Okay, so maybe you can also position yourself so that you can have it. Can everybody just be quiet, please? Thank you. Maybe try to just position yourself so your back isn't to Maharaj. So maybe sit facing Maharaj.
Very kind of you, but this is practical. All right, so everyone has access to the text in some ways. Good. Now we are ready. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to go very far now. I put all my... You're so lively. All my things I put on. My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics, I invite you now to for interesting experience where I will request you to read the Bhagavatam in a special way, and then most properly you will learn something unforgettable. Okay? Good. First comes the theory. I request every one of you to center yourself. You can sit in the group order. We are going to make an experience with the Bhagavatam. We are going to read the text and the purport. Everything is so good, but we have not so much time. The first three paragraphs we are going to read, three paragraphs of the purport. And we are going to apply these steps. We will read it together. You might like to appoint one person to read and then make notes that help you to reflect the text. And then we might, and then we will think about how I can apply the text. First hearing is called Shravana. We just hear the text without any filters. Second, we reflect about the text. And third, we think what we can apply from the text. Yeah? Three steps. You can come to me if you forget the three steps. I know them. And so on. So, while you read, you will first be requested to just read the text. Then with your partner, this is a partner exercise, you will reflect. Oh, I read this. Oh, this resonates with something I read in the past. Oh, yes, this comes to mind. And then the third step is you can discuss with your partner, is there anything that I can apply in my life? And you will see something opening up for you. Is the exercise clear? Henrik, you're raising your ear in this way. Yeah. Dobro. How big are your groups? Three is okay.
Yeah.
So then I suggest some of you, you need to really come together like the sheep when it's raining. I thank you for your active participation. We are not at the end, or? My main thing comes, you know. My dear devotee, in the Padma Puranas, my dear people, in the Padma Purana we hear, every place where there is daily Bhagavatam katha, or hearing the Bhagavatam, becomes a holy place. All holy places come there. All the residents in that place are blessed with good fortune. All their sinful reactions are completely and destroyed. So this daily reading of the Bhagavatam or hearing of the Bhagavatam is very important. You only need to apply these altogether six very easy steps, which I think most of you do already. One was to do it regularly, thank you. The next is try to be attentive, yes. The last is, yeah, this is the first group of three. The next group of three is you just hear it and then you need to do something with it. You need to reflect it about it. You need to think down, to maybe make a few points and stop and reflect about it. And then finally, you need to apply something in your life. Don't be the eternal student of class number one. You know, a reading is sometimes compared like bringing the food to the stomach. Reflecting is compared to chewing it so that it gets ready for its most important function, that is digestion. Only applying a spiritual text will help you to digest it. There are many, many, many people who are suffering from spiritual constipation. Do you know what that is? Constipation. It goes in, but it's not properly digested, and so on. And therefore, it doesn't nourish them. You need to digest everything nicely. And to digest the subject matter comes only when you say, this point made sense, I'm going to do this. So for that, you need to always return to this attentive hearing, because if you really hear attentively, it will sink in deeper and it will come close to the digestion part. If you hear shallowly, with shallow attention, then the subject matter will never come to the stage where it's even possible to think of application or digestion. No? So I will boil this down by one story, and then we will see if you have any questions. It is my favorite story in which to illustrate the efficiency of Bhagavatam, and it's favorite because it teaches what to do when you hear it and what not to do. Once there were two brothers. One was a very saintly brother, his name was Gokana, and the other, Dondukari. He was really... Let us not talk about his sinful activities. Let us talk a little bit about it. When Gokana, the saintly brother, went on a pilgrimage, Dondukari was alone, and he started to associate with women of the art of deception. It's a polite word for prostitutes, because they say I love you, but it is the money which they love. And his father was so disappointed with him that he left the house and went to the forest to become a totally dedicated reader of the Bhagavatam. This was to the liking of Dondukari, because now he was alone with his defenseless mother. He went to her and said, give me your gold. In those times, the wealth of the family was with the women. They kept it in golden bangles and ankle decorations, you know, foot rings. And he was beating his poor mother. His mother was not willing to give the wealth, and forced her to depart from the family wealth. For what? Wine, drink, atrocities, which he would do with his complices. And yes, he was a man of the flesh. So his mother was so distressed that one morning she jumped into the village well and killed herself. Suicide. Dundulkari's sinful heart was not even moved at that time. He asked the prostitutes to come into the house, and finally one night when he was sleeping in a drunken stupor, the prostitutes had a little meeting amongst themselves and say, they thought that this man is too much. If the king or his men find out about his excessive lifestyle, we will be in trouble as well. So he's drunken now, let us bind him on the bed and stab him to death. But Dundulkari was so vicious, he wouldn't die. Finally, they took a burning torch and put it into his screaming mouth. And he couldn't scream any longer, and he died, finally. They quickly took the corpse and they buried the corpse somewhere where he could not be found. Years later, the saintly brother Gokarna ended his pilgrimage and he wanted to see, let's visit home. He heard from the neighbors that his father had left for the forest and his mother had killed herself by suicide. And his brother, no one knew his whereabouts. So Gokarna said, let me pray for this. This is really a tragedy. And he stayed in the house. And in the night, it was around 12:17. There was loud howling in the house. And then a noises from chains which were dragged behind someone, and then Gokarna could see his brother, a ghost, a mad ghost, who started to shift shapes. Sometimes he had the form of the horned one. Do we know in America who's the horned one? It's the one whose name you never speak out loud. Lucifer. Yes. Now everyone gets awake. Wow, this gets nifty. So there was, and he constantly shifted his forms, but Gokarna just, poor brother, he said. And he said mantras. Finally, Dundulkari said, brother, you see what I have become? Can you help me? I am a ghost. I have all the cravings which I used to have, but not the body to fulfill them. It's subtle, but body. Oh, said Gokarna, you are not an easy case. I will pray and maybe I receive an answer. So he prayed the whole night. He cared for his family. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, read the Bhagavatam for 7 days to your brother. So Gokarna arranged what is called a Bhagavat Sapta. It's reading the Bhagavatam for 7 days. Does any one of you have an idea why 7 days? Yes.
Because that's what Parikshit had.
Yes, Parikshit, the original audience of the Bhagavatam, heard the Bhagavatam for exactly 7 days at the end of his life in this world. No? So it was arranged, and the whole village in India, people are not so private and exclusive. They just go, let us sit in also. So at the end of these 7 days, a miracle or as you would say in Wisdom of the Sages, a Krishna miracle happened. At the very end, this one transcendental airplane was seen, not like American Airlines. It's open. It's a Vimana. Some look like swans, but with a big deck. It arrived, and four servants of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, said, "It is time for you, Dundukari. Come with us." So, yes, he circumambulated the plane. When he was done, he had a spiritual body. It was luminous. So much light. And he had a garland on. Yes, he had a very good dhoti on. And he alighted the plane. Now, as the plane started this aircraft started to move towards the eternal spiritual world, everyone in the audience shouted, "No! No, no! Mistake, mistake! He is Dundukari. We are good people. We should go. Why has no airplane come for us?" Listen to the answer. It might reshape your life. Let us just zoom in. What is going on here? A Bhagavatam reading was done. At the end, only one person was attaining the eternal blissful kingdom of God. The others had to stay. Why this one person? And he was not the most qualified, because of one thing. Dundukari had listened with rapt attention. He knew my life depended on this. There was nothing else in his mind. He was soaking in or taking in the nectar. It was bypassing any upset mind or any barrier which we take in. And therefore, it was working very swiftly. Rumi famously said, "Don't strive for love." What? Don't strive for love? You've written many poems where you say we should strive for love. No, no, don't strive for love. Look and find all the obstacles which you have built against it and tear down these walls, and then it's all around you. So this is the Bhagavatam also gives us a complete immersion in the most nectarine subject matters. And it is delivered really, I can say, after, you know, I'm doing this now for 50 plus years, it is delivered by Kostuba and Raghunath in a very spiritual way. Somehow the spirit flows, and I think that's why you're all there, and you can feel it. It's palpable. It's an access road, a broad road, a highway to the sacred space in the heart, where you can find yourself at the Lord. Yeah, but you need to listen with this attention. No, I would suggest we are living in a time where multitasking is learned by even a child. You know, they have to play with five different balls in the air, and no ball gets one complete attention. When you approach spiritual subject matter, if it is possible, I'm only saying it if possible, there are of course these situations where you need to quickly write your application formula with the CIA or whatever you have to do time bound. I'm saying something which I don't think you will do, so, to save you from blushing. What you, you know, but anyways, if you can give rapt attention, that is very, very good. When I have my Bhagavatam time, I tell that those who are with me in the ashram, this is my Bhagavatam time. It's sacred time. It's time for me, for the one relationship, the ultimate relationship, the relationship to the world of the spirit, you know, the which is my homeland, and so on. Anyways, but after you have heard, think about it, reflect it, and then apply it. Only then you can digest it, and only digested food brings you forward. Undigested food is toxic. I don't think the Bhagavatam can ever become toxic. In this area, the example doesn't work well. But it should be digested to, by application. And it's only maybe a little point. Wait for this moment when, oops, that was important for me. I remember there was this one Wisdom of the Sages broadcast where Raghunath extempore, he said it was a squirrel which he talked about, talked about road rage. Yeah, maybe you remember. He had driven innocently with his car and he had brought his child to the school, and someone took offense in his driving. Maybe there was some coming a little close or something, and he went into the road rage, and Raghunath wanted to just get out of the car, I believe, and remember his martial arts training. But then he decided, no, I don't react like this. I take myself back from what is happening. I take myself out of the situation. I look at it from outside, and I will decide on a better way of action, which is more conducive for everyone. He applied ancient wisdom from the Bhagavatam. That it's called Shakshit Vena. You enter into the position of the witness, more or less like, like this. When this, this way it goes around. If I want to film you, I think this way I have to pull it around. This makes a neutral observation of the room. It records everything without passing a judgment. No judgment is passed. So that is very, that to apply that at a moment when someone is road raging at you, that is application, and it helps to digest, and then you will feel, yeah, now I know what it talks about. You don't know just here, you know on other levels as well. Good. This was our first workshop. I thank you very much. I'm looking for my wristwatch here, and I will secretly look at it. We have 20 more minutes. I think we should open the forum for some questions which you might have on reading the Bhagavatam, on what you have heard so far. Not all at once, please. Yeah, Jeffrey, I think, is your good name.
Maharaj, when we're reading the Bhagavatam, is there any way that we should actually be reading off of the page in terms of the order we should read? Should we be reading every single word? Should we read the parts that we understand? Is there
mechanics and reading? Yeah. When reading a sacred text, should you read all of it or only the parts you can relate to or understand to? I must say I have two reading styles. One is the inspiration looking reading, where I look for inspirations. And there may be a time in my life when this subject speaks more to me, so I dwell with this subject. I go back to passages in the scripture. What I have in all my books, I have notes on the opening page, on the cover page, where there are interesting things which are in the inspirational category. I read these things again, these nudges, these torchlights with batteries, which can show me a way out of my darkness, my inner darkness. That is one way, but I have also another way. Fasten your seat belts. This is a little intense. I read everything. Even the things where, you know, I'm not so much a strategic person, the structure of the universe or time measurements, you know, or things. Because I feel somehow deep respect for this ancient wisdom. And I feel I will put my rational mind in the way I am now over the text if I skip. But sometimes I can't do it. Like now, for instance, now I'm on tour. To be on tour for a Swami is tough. There are the programs, there are the meetings, there are the this and the that. And when you are approaching 70, there's your health. And, you know, it is now not so good after Florida. So I only do the inspirational style at the moment, because if I would now go into the structure of the universe, there is this, and there is that, and there's this dimension, and that stratosphere. I would not be able to absorb anything. So I think maybe this is just my suggestion, this looking for inspiration, that is one style of reading, and then reading for I call it for transformation. See, these scriptures are ultimately acting on a level which is beyond the mind and beyond the understanding. It's like sun rays. You may not understand how it makes a nice tan. You don't understand what all the cells in your body, how they receive the sunlight and how they do, but it works on you. So in the same way, reading in this transformational way, it works on you. By the way, the whole scriptural body is not so much for information, but for transformation. All of you will be luminous beings. By the way, you are already, but you are still a little, but some of us are covered. No? And it will bring that out. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have to see by the order. I have seen Ananda Vrindavan Champu.
Vrindavan Ishwari.
Vrindavan Ishwari. Yes. Okay. Anna.
Is that quote that you gave from the Padma Purana?
Yeah. Would you like to have it?
Is that in the Bhagavatam or?
No. This is in my notes. Okay. I bet you can bring your mobile telephone and make a snapshot from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes, please.
No.
Your good name? Yes.
My name is Lee.
Lee. Yes, Lee.
Thank you for this class.
Thank you, Lee.
You were speaking about the heart, and the ego tends to kind of block the heart.
Yeah.
Can you speak about how, like, the purpose of the ego and how we can kind of be more in harmony with it?
Yeah. The ego is not all bad. Every morning, have you noticed when you wake up after a period of forgetfulness, somehow you get this thing, oh, I am Lee, and there are the bathroom is just around the corner, and I should take a bath now, and then I am affectionate to this person. I think you are friends, the two of you, so I have noted. And you are not going to someone else, but you're remembering your friendship. That is only possible because of a continuing sense of identity, which is coming from the feeling of I, not the ego. This function is very nice because we can act in a coordinated way. We find our way to the places we need to go. There are two functions, however, of the ego, which we must be a little bit aware of. It's called in Sanskrit aham mameti. It's an exaggerated. It's a sense of identity with a claim for what is mine. My interest, my life, my ideas, my satisfaction and gratification in this. And this type of thing is not always helpful. You have to question what is really mine. And we will see. Well, if I'm inside the body as the life force, as the eternal soul, then I'm only passing through, and just like the things which I find in an R&B for 3 days are not mine. R&B, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
BRB.
Airbnb. Yeah. That rented place, no?
Yeah.
It is. Hotel room. Yes. Let's make a simple example where the pandits agree. So the hotel room, there is a TV set, which may be better than the one at home. There is a boiler, which may be better than the one at home. And the bed sheets are so new. But I'm passing through. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. It's the property of the hotel. No, so in this way, this ego, which is based on. You know, making claims of this in this world can be the greatest anchor to material life, and that we have to be careful. How to be in harmony is you need to have a healthy sense of self-worth. What is very dangerous nowadays is this constant need of outside validation. Only if someone smiles at me, only if they give me a signal that they at least tolerate my presence, you know, then I feel some worth. I had to struggle with this in the time of, and I was surprised that I needed to clarify this for me, and I want to now give you an answer He wanted to have a healthy relationship to the sense of I. See, I'm not good with computers, but during the lockdown time, where I could not travel any longer, I put a lot of content on the internet, and people started to say, oh, so nice, thank you very much, to me. Then I thought, oh, it works with me. I can also do something on the internet. And then I started to look, when I gave lectures, on the number of participants. And I thought, if I'm not reaching the 150 mark line, then I'm useless. I didn't reach it. I reached it, a few times, yes, but generally not. I'm not so famous like Will Smith. and he's a good man, by the way. Yeah, so then I thought, oh, this is not very good. Let me stop. Who says it? The internet is anyways Maya, and went like this. Then I thought very deeply, and I said, Satchinanda Swami, it's not about how many people you reach. It's about how deep you can reach someone. That's you. That is, you are not meant to be. I'm not born as a Mick Jagger, whoever, you know. I'm born as me, you know, in this life. And I have certain capabilities and capacities. And when I live in that, that is the best validation. Do you know that all places in the universe are already occupied? There's only one place which may at times be still vacant, and that's your place. Why live the life of someone else? No? But in this culture of we are, but it's a neat validation by likes, ooh, we become more estranged of ourselves, because we try to, maybe I should not dress like this. Raghuda, do you have an idea for something more flashy, you know? And so on. So on. And I distance myself more and more from myself. This is difficult also in spiritual movements, in yoga movements. You know, people try to get validation by how swiftly they can bend down and come up again, and so on. And they do break, they do damage to them in the attempt to do the really, you know, the very extreme pose. Do you know that this, like Raghunath said this morning, yoga takes place in that, I can show you where yoga takes place. The benefit of yoga takes place, let us say, my comfortable limit is here in bowing down. So if I would try, which I could, to reach to the floor, I would strain everything so much that the prana flow is blocked. The total opposite of yoga. What I will do is, say this is my limit. If I go here, do you see? That's where yoga for me takes place. Now if I think, I saw Henrik today, and Henrik is in the crowd, he will not validate me any longer. He will most probably not speak to, if I can't at least come to, you know, where the handle of this thermos is, you know, then no yoga for me. I'm in the outside world. I'm in the world of of where nothing happens to me in the some self some. But is it really so valuable if someone says? You're very joyful. Has my self-worth really increased? Deeply, you know? We live in the wrong time. Another one is FOMO. Do you know what is FOMO?
Yeah.
Yeah? Fear of missing out. Huh? FOMO. Yes, fear of missing out. No? We are in this, and we are so have become sometimes so externally facing. If you are not, if you cannot be at peace with yourself, it means you are in very bad company. You didn't get it. This is my best joke. If you are not. If you're not at peace when you are by yourself, it means you are in bad company. You have to be afraid of yourself. Maybe he will strangle me. I will strangle myself. No? Fear of missing out. You don't miss out when you're with yourself if you have worked on yourself. Hare Krishna. So, my dear everyone, I think we can end now. I thank you very much. I thought it would go easier with the text, and I'm very sorry. I forgot that we have this. Yes, I thought. I'm in America, everything goes jup, 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 as far as technology is concerned. But tomorrow I will be a little bit more mindful of our time when we come to exercise, and we will do. I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful remainder of the of our retreat, and all the best. Hari Bol.
He's telling us Satchinandana Swami Ki.